Luke chapter 19, the Gospel of Luke chapter 19. I want to preach a message that I've entitled, Occupying Till Christ Comes. Occupying Until Christ Comes. Now, we're told in chapter 18, verse 31, then he took unto him the 12, and he said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. Now, when we come to chapter 19, verse 11, he was speaking to the 12, and it says, And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Verse 12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. Verse 14, Luke 19, verse 14. And his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. Well, it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, Likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept, laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that which thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou my money, not thy money, wherefore thou then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury or interest. And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him that hath him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So the Lord Jesus gives this parable. Why does he give the parable? Well, we're told why. Because in verse 11, they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Now, my question to you is this. Why would the apostles, the 12 apostles, say, Man, he's coming soon. Why would they think that? Now, the scripture tells us that they were a little bit dumbfounded when Jesus was crucified, was buried, and was risen again. They could not understand that. As a matter of fact, Matthew chapter 16, if you remember the Lord Jesus, we're told that he said, Who do men say that I am? And he said, and Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Bravo, Peter. You are really great, because Jesus said, you know, heaven and earth did not, you know, no man revealed that to you, Peter, but he that is from above revealed that to you. And then Jesus says what in Matthew 16? And by the way, I'm going to Jerusalem, and within 6 months is basically the time frame there, I'm going to die, they're going to kill me, they're going to beat me, and after I am beaten, and after I am killed, then I'll rise again. And what was Peter's angelic response then? Not so, Lord. And then the scripture tells us that Peter, Jesus looks at him and says, what? Get thee behind me, Satan. So in other words, God revealed the one message to him, but Satan put that evil thought in Peter's mind. Why did they think the Messiah was going to set up his kingdom? What's that? Okay, what did they misunderstand? Okay, the timing. But what did they understand? All right, what about John the Baptist? Isaiah chapter 40. And he's going to cry, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So there was the prophecy of John the Baptist. What about the time that John the Baptist started having doubts? And he sent his disciples to Jesus when John was in prison and said, "Are you really the Messiah, or do we look for another?" Anybody remember what Jesus said? He said, "Go back and tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear." And look at all the miracles. So when the Messiah came, according to Isaiah, he would perform many miracles. Very interesting. What about his teaching? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. As a matter of fact, if you were to go to the end of the chapter, there's going to even be more proof of this. He's going to ride in, according to Zechariah, and he's going to ride in on a donkey, and they're going to cry, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So in other words, they had every indication, man, things are wrapping up here. It's time to just get my heaven shoes going. It's time to go. Woo! Man, he's coming. Let's go. And this is why when Peter says, no, it's not going to be that way, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You got your facts right, but you got your timing all wrong. And this is why, if you look over to the book of Acts, chapter 1, even after Jesus, and you say, okay, I understand now, he had to die, he was buried, and he rose again. But the first thing that we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, they ask him, when they therefore were come together, they ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this, what's the next word? Time, restore again the kingdom to Israel. And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the time. As a matter of fact, what you need to be doing is occupying till I come, which is verse 8, be witnesses unto me. So, it's interesting, we come back to Luke 19, that we understand that in their mind there was a temptation to think, in a sense, our work is done. Let's sit back and wait for the fireworks. So Jesus gives this parable. And I want us to look at this parable first, and then we'll see some things that it's teaching us and how we can apply that parable. Now, first of all, notice the parable. We're told here that, remember, this guy is going to this nobleman is going to a far country, and what does he do? He gives each of the 10 men his pound. Now, according to Ryrie, a pound was a measure of money worth about 100 drachmas, or a denarii, about 3 months' wages. Now, so think about this. He gave them 10 times 3 months of wages. And he told them, okay, you got this money, and you have this, and it will suffice you till I get back. And he basically says, occupy till I come. Make sure you stay busy with this. You got plenty to keep you going. And of course, the one that was given 10, one guy made what? Another 10. Why? Because he was busy with what he had. Another guy he was able to gain 5. Now, the Lord doesn't scold him because the guy who was able to make 10 made 10, and the guy that was only able to make 5, he doesn't scold him for that. And the scripture tells us that the Lord praised him for that. But one of those guys did what? And he said, man, this is a lot of money. I better put it in safekeeping. I don't want somebody stealing it. And the scripture tells us that when the Lord found out that he still only had those 10, he took those 10 pounds and said, you're doing wickedly here. I want you to take those 10 and give it to the guy who made 10. Because he knows how to use what he has been given. So that, we're told then as a result, when he came back, he rewarded the one guy 10 cities, another guy 5 cities, and the other guy, he lost everything he had. And then, verse 27, the enemies, which hated the nobleman to begin with, he judges them. And they have to answer to God. Now, what is this parable about? Who do you think the nobleman is? Jesus Christ. And Jesus went to heaven to receive the kingdom. And he's coming again. It doesn't tell us when he's coming again, but he's coming again. Secondly, Jesus gives Christians the means by which to be useful until he returns. You know, I always thought it was a true saying that was stated that God has given us everything we need for our present happiness. You know, sometimes we may not be as talented as somebody else, or we may not be as very good with something as somebody else, but God wants us to be faithful with what we have until He returns. Number 3, Christians are to do His business until He comes again. So we are to be very, very busy We are to be doing the work of the Lord. Number four, when He returns, the faithful will be given rewards. Now, some have even taught, you know, we studied dispensationalism, and one of the things that you'll find regarding the millennium is that God is going to set up a totally different geography, and basically there's some that would suggest that because of your faithfulness, He might give you a certain number of cities to be a ruler over. Because we're told in the book of Revelation that if we are saved, you ever notice this? We will rule and reign with Christ. And so, because we rule and reign with Christ, again, some have said, you know, I'm going to get 10 cities, or I want to get this city, or, you know, I remember Dr. Ian Paisley, he would preach in his Irish accent. He says, I want to get Rome! And I want to be over Rome and talk to the Papa! And he would go off about Catholicism. Now, where do people get this idea? Well, because we're going to one day rule. So those who have been faithful will be rewarded. Now, whether they're actual literal cities or being a parable, maybe it's just giving us a sense of some reward that we'll get. But if you occupy, which literally means if you stay busy, be occupied in anything, to carry on business, God says you will be rewarded. Now, it's also interesting that number five, in looking at this teaching, when He returns, the unfaithful will be stripped for opportunities for service. So, what is apparent here is that if you don't occupy till He comes, you will not be rewarded. This is kind of like what you see in the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible tells us there that we shall be rewarded. And God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if we build our house or our lives on wood, hay, and stubble, then we have nothing to show for it. Now, will we get to heaven? Yes. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, you will go to heaven. But you blew it on planet Earth. Why? Because you did not stay occupied in the Lord's business. And the last thing I want you to see here is that when He returns, the unsaved will be destroyed. And those who are enemies of Jesus Christ will be judged. And we know that happens before the millennial starts. It happens at the end of the millennium. But what we do find is that there is something for us all to learn. So that brings me to the application of this parable. And if you are alert to study any of the parables after Jesus Christ talks at the end of Matthew chapter 24 and into chapter 25, He gives these parables. What He says is that you better watch and wait. And He says you better make sure that you are alert. But He says you better also make sure that you are not like those people who get tied into the world, that you do not occupy yourself in the coming of the Lord. So by way of application, let's first of all talk about our church. All right? Now notice there's not many people here tonight, right? Now Joe says, oh, that's right, I'm supposed to count them. It's not hard, brother, I could do it right now. And when you think about our church, now, when you think about that, we're in a situation where all it takes is one family to be gone to make it really look small. And what's interesting is when an individual leaves or an individual goes and doesn't show up for church, it's so easy to notice. Now, when you have 100 people like we've had in the past, then, you know, somebody's gone and you say, was so-and-so here today? I don't know. I know when you're not here right now. So, what about our church? You say, well, we're just a small church. It doesn't matter. Ha-ha. It does matter. What did Jesus say to do until he comes back? What about the Great Commission? The Great Commission is you shall what? Make disciples. And really, there's one command with three participles. The command is you need to be going. You don't want to be sitting around. You don't want to be waiting. You don't want to be just kind of saying, well, you know, let's see when the Lord comes. You don't want to be doing that. You need to be going. You need to be making disciples. You need to be seeing people baptized. And you need to be teaching them the Word of God. And truly, what we have to understand is that we are to be occupying until Jesus comes. Now, I want you to be thinking about this. Why would we be thinking, or let me put it this way, how could we fall into the trap that Christ is coming anytime? Why would we even think that? What's that? Right? It could happen any moment. But why would I think more this moment than past moments? How do we know? Well, because by virtue of the fact that he said he's coming, and we're getting closer to that, but how would we know that he's coming maybe in 2021? Maybe in the month of April? What prophecies? Okay. All right, so Israel is now a nation. Iniquity shall abound, the heart of love of many shall wax cold. What else? I mean, after all, don't they find all these chips that they're putting in people's hands now? In people's foreheads? So it's easy for us to think, woo, he's coming back! Rapture shoes, let's go! But you know what? He may not come for another 100 years. We don't know. Only the Lord knows that. And so it's easy for us to say, well, you know, someone gets saved, well, that's good, but boy, he just made it. And sit back and do nothing. What should I, as a pastor, be doing? Because it's easy to think, well, you know, the Lord is going to come soon, so therefore, you know, hey, we got fewer people here. Man, this is a cake job. As long as the money's coming in. And yet, what is Jesus telling me as a pastor to do? What does the Lord say? What does the epistle say? Ephesians chapter 4. He tells me to perfect the saints. So in other words, my responsibility is to help believers grow. Why? What's that? Right, so I preach this all the time, right? So the reason why I am trying to help you to be a mature Christian is so that you would get out there and occupy and do business until he comes. That's my job. That's my job description. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. So the point I'm making here is this. Be very, very careful as a church that you do not get this idea, well, the Lord's getting ready to come back anyway, so it doesn't matter. That is of the devil. Satan wants us to get anticipating the Lord's coming, and that's a good thing. I'm not against looking for the coming of the Lord. If you have this hope, you're purifying yourself. That's a good thing. But see how it can, how Satan can use it in a negative way. That we are not doing the work of the ministry. So we go and do our jobs. We get involved in this project or this hobby, or we do this and we do that. Because after all, the Lord's come back anyway. Got my salvation. I've won my so many souls to the Lord. And so I'm going to just sit back and enjoy the show. And the fact is, we need to be very, very careful. Let me show you another application of this. This happens to people when they get older. Because after all, you know, I've served the Lord for so many years, it's time for the young people to take over. And it's easy to think, you know, it's almost like, for instance, have you ever noticed when somebody's getting ready to move? I've noticed this many times over the years. Someone's getting ready to move from Manhattan, Fort Riley, to go to somewhere else. You know what? Their sights are in something else. And so they start being negligent in their responsibilities for the Lord's work. They're not thinking about what can we do to build this ministry. You know what they're thinking about? Where am I going to live? And what church am I going to join? Now again, there's nothing wrong with being prepared for the next duty station. It's kind of like, have you ever had a job and you knew you are getting ready to leave that job? And one of the problems that takes place with that job is you start thinking, you know, I don't have to be as attentive as I used to be because, after all, I got another job. You know, this is a problem with our students. They realize, okay, yeah, I'm going to graduate. And one of the things that they have to warn those students about is don't let up because you still got some exams coming up. And I'm afraid, and I think I have sometimes fallen into that, saying, you know, I'm getting a little old. don't have the energy I used to have. So the Lord will understand if I'm not as dependable and faithful in the Lord's work as I... And I wouldn't say it that way, but, you know, He understands that I'm not up to the task anymore. That is a very dangerous position. Because sometimes a person can think, well, you know, I can't do anything else. I talked to my father-in-law. He's 95. And I sat down with him the other day and I just started chatting with him. I said, Dad, you pray for me today? And he said, no, I didn't today. I said, man, I need you to pray for me. I know you can't do some of the things that you used to be able to do, but there's one thing you can do, and that is to stay busy in prayer. In other words, there is enough for us to do that God is going to say, listen, occupy, occupy till I come. Do God's business. Don't let up. Don't quit. Don't think, you know, well, it's about over. And the scripture tells us that the Lord was very mindful of that because we don't know when He's coming back. Now, I just assume He did come back next month. But think about all the people that need to be saved if He came back that early. See, the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. There are more people on planet Earth right now than ever in the history of the world. And the Lord knows when He's going to come back. And let's make sure that we are not falling into the trap of letting up, giving up. Oh, we'll let somebody else do the work. Nonsense! There is enough work to do. And I think it was Billy Sunday. He said, man, he said, I'm going to fight the devil until the day I die. And he said, I'm going to fight the devil until I lose my teeth. And he said, when I lose my teeth, I'll gum them to death. I mean, that was the spirit of the old preachers. They don't give up. They don't quit. They don't retire. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to retire, but I'm just saying there is work to do. Occupying. Occupying, Jesus says. And occupy till He comes. And may it never be said of us, we didn't do it because we thought it was over. We don't know when it's over. We don't know when it's time for us to go home to be with the Lord. And let's make sure that we occupy until Christ comes. So this isn't a time to be letting up, skipping church, letting up on my devotions, stopping my witnessing, quitting my giving out gospel tracts. It's not time for that. And the song says it well. Work, for the night is coming. And this is what Jesus said, till man works no more. Now, Lord, we ask that You would guide us, direct us, help us. Help us to not quit. Help us to not fall of the lie of the devil that would cause us to be so tied up in the things of this world that we would allow ourselves to be negligent. Because, Lord, You know there's plenty of work to do. There's souls that need to be saved. There are Sunday school classes that need to be taught. There are those who need our prayers. There are those who need our encouragement. There are those who need our encouragement to them to be strong. Lord, there are people that need to be helped. There are disciples that need to be matured. Lord, help us. Help us to recognize that there are unbelievers that are going to hell. And you would have us to occupy, to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, to do our very best to do so until Jesus comes. And we'll praise you for what you do. With our head bowed and our eyes closed as the pianist plays, let's stand to our feet as the pianist plays one verse. If no one comes, we'll close the invitation. You need to come. You come. Seated. Brother Tom is going to come at the